do the official investigation. That has to be done by the state concerned.
A decade ago, Zaid wrote a report on sexual exploitation and abuse in peacekeeping operations and helped the UN develop a zero-tolerance policy. But critics say there's still not enough pressure on countries that contribute peacekeeping troops to punish those responsible for abuse. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
It's NPR News.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China cut interest rates for the third time in 6 months amid a worse-than-expected economic slowdown. The People's Bank of China said Sunday it would shave a quarter of a percentage point off benchmark lending and deposit rates effective today. The central bank is also considering a credit easing tool that will allow local governments to restructure debts. The latest rate cut came after China reported disappointing trade data on Friday and inflation data on Saturday. Iowa is facing a crisis trying to destroy and dispose of roughly 23 million birds from poultry operations infected with highly pathogenic H5N2 avian influenza. Iowa State and USDA officials are struggling to find landfills willing to accept the volume of carcasses that can come from giant poultry houses that normally hold hundreds of thousands or even millions of birds that are dying from the virus. Iowa officials cite that the state now has 44 cases of bird flu, all since April the 20th. Some Iowa farms are disposing their carcasses on site. The Bank of England has voted to keep interest rates steady. Policymakers made the decision to keep interest rates at a record low, one-half of one percentage point. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 18,139. It's up 18 points. The NASDAQ 4455 is up 7. The S&P 500 is 2,111, up 2.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. We have light rain and drizzle occurring at this hour from the southeast corner of Missouri and some east central areas there as well through the majority of Illinois. Up into northern portions of Indiana, and we've got fog occurring across most of the Great Lakes region. It's not one of your prettier mornings. In the western part of the Corn Belt, temperatures are in the 40s this hour. In the east, in Ohio and parts of southeastern Indiana, parts of Kentucky were in the 70s, so there's quite a contrast going on there. Obviously, a frontal system is moving through the region, and it promises to produce some additional rain and thunderstorm activity in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky as we go through the day. Today, even Michigan will pick up on some rain. Over the weekend, the one area in the Midwest that had been persistently dry finally got significant moisture. That's in the Dakotas in Minnesota, a long ways away from home here. But it's important because that region has been droughty for the last several weeks. And this moisture was necessary in order to improve the crop establishment potential. So now we have most of the Midwest looking very good on moisture, and the forecast is offering plenty of it again over this next 7 to 10 days. A very active weather pattern will prevail across the region. The rain and thunderstorms that will occur today across the eastern Midwest will be quick to get out of the region. Tomorrow should be a good day in most of the eastern two-thirds of the Midwest. We're going to expect no precipitation in the western Corn Belt today or tomorrow. In the east, it'll be dry tomorrow and Wednesday. But after that, conditions do deteriorate once again with new storm systems coming into the western Corn Belt, one right after the other. This begins as we go from Wednesday night all the way through the weekend and into the first half of next week. There will be short breaks in the precipitation, but it will still be a wet scenario, and fieldwork will have to operate around the precipitation. We expect rain totals over the next 7 days to be relatively frequent, or rather, I should say relatively significant, around 6/10 of an inch to an inch and a half will occur in the majority of the region. That's not necessarily all that great as long as we can keep the temperatures up. Looks like the temperatures are going to be somewhat on the mild side for a little while here, but we should be able to warm back up by the weekend. Temperatures this afternoon will contrast from 80-degree readings in Ohio and Kentucky ahead of that frontal system to readings only in the 50s and 60s in the western Corn Belt. And tomorrow, everybody will be mostly 50s and 60s. There will be a few 70s in the southwestern Corn Belt and near and south of the Ohio River. As we move on into Wednesday afternoon, we'll expect the afternoon temperatures to be back in the 60s and lower 70s in a big part of the region, maybe still some 50s in the Great Lakes region. And really, for the rest of the week, we'll be seeing 60 and 70-degree temperatures in the north and 70s and some 80s in the south. The low temperatures at night are expected to stay above any kind of damage threshold, with one exception possibly in the Dakotas and portions of Nebraska and Minnesota, where we could see a little bit of frost overnight tonight. A couple of very light freezes will be possible. Over the weekend, there were some low temperatures in the upper 20s in the Red River Basin of the north. That's in the eastern Dakotas and western Minnesota. Everybody else, though, will be seeing low temperatures that are nowhere near threatening levels, but there will be some upper 30s in the Great Lakes region over the next couple of nights, Wednesday morning in particular. And then we'll look for most other areas seeing 40 and 50-degree lows for the rest of this week, maybe even some lower 60s in the south by the time we get to the weekend. The bottom line here is that it's more of the same. We'll see fairly often shower and thunderstorm activity intermixing with periods of sunshine and temperatures that will end up averaging relatively close to normal. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 504 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. Soft May, 473 and a half, down 3. July, 476 and three quarters, down 4 and three quarters. May corn, 360 and a quarter, up 1 and 3 quarters. July, 361, down 2. September, 366 and a half, down 2. December, 376 and a quarter, down 2. Go out to July of 16, it's down 1 at 402 and 3 quarters. May soybeans, 982 and a half, down 2. July, 973 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a half. September, 9.55 and 3 quarters, down 1 and a quarter. November, 9.51 and a quarter, down 3 quarters. May soybean meal, 3.13.20, down $2. May soybean oils, 33.02, up 22. The July contract up 21 at 33.17. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks much. I suppose we are in a holding pattern today while waiting WASD tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's pretty quiet here so far this morning. Obviously, that's been a trend for a while here, but I think we're just kind of holding, waiting to see what the numbers. A lot of moving parts tomorrow. Of course, the probably more important numbers is our first look at the 15-16 balance sheet. Not expecting a whole lot of movement in the old crop numbers tomorrow. Looking for corn maybe a touch higher. Beans maybe a touch lower, seems to be kind of the trend of the last couple reports, but does give us our first look at next year. We'll take those acres numbers from the end of March, put a trend-adjusted yield on that, and then kind of see where the demand shakes out from there. But, you know, expecting corn ending stocks for 15-16 to be about that 1.76 number, bean ending stocks right around 450 million, somewhere around there. So we'll see if USDA deviates a little bit from those expectations.
I want to talk a little bit about the range of the guesses from the trade on the corn. It goes all the way down from like 1.4 or something to over 2.2. That is a huge range.
Yeah, and that's why probably adds to the volatility tomorrow. Just seeing what those numbers come out in. You know, you look at the averages and then you look at the range and you think that there's going to be a wide variety of guesses the USDA could come out with tomorrow. It is a starting point, though. We'll deviate from that here as the summer moves on, but that offers an opportunity anyway for some volatility and a wide range in the trade tomorrow, and we'll see where that all shakes out. But it could be a lot of interesting numbers out tomorrow, mm-hmm. and we'll see where that leads to trade.
Yeah, we'll have to see how volatile that ends up being, and then we'll go right back to the weather. And this afternoon, NASS expected a report for corn plantings by most people, something north of 70%. Well, that window's going to close a bit this week. What will we come back with next week?
Well, that's the thing. We're not going to move many planters around here. You know, listening to Drew there, obviously no big concern for the market at this point. Continuing to see a trend where we see green on the radar screen, and that usually gives a little bit of a negative bias to the markets. But we are going to warm up. That'll be a benefit here as the week goes on, and then we're going to run into some more rain chances. So, you know, we'll see if that ends up being a story or not, Dave, that some of this last little bit of corn and, of course, a lot of beans to go here, if that ends up being a story. But right now, the market sees that as kind of a negative bias here with the rain that we have received and the warmer temperatures.
Yeah, if it is going to be a story, it will always be the last 5% on it.
The most important part, of course, this week is see what the numbers say tomorrow, and then we'll.
That's right.
No surprises there, then we'll quickly dive back into the weather.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Have a good day.
Bye. Aaron Kurt is a Mitco, and he is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. December corn, 376.5, down 1.75, and Novi beans, 951.25, down 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.